Well, for me, this is a very exciting morning as you watch us once again on our YouTube channel. At 10:30 this Sunday morning, a group of us are actually meeting in the church for the first time in just over a year. And it will be exciting to see faces, or at least half a face anyway. And we just hope and pray that as a number come back for socially distant services, that this will be the beginnings of the new shoots of new growth in what has been a really dry and barren period for all of us. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? As we have experienced lockdown after lockdown and have not been able to meet physically in the building. I hope before very long that you might be able to join us there. I know people have different reasons why coming back might not be easy for them, and that's perfectly okay. But I do hope and pray it won't be long before we're together rejoicing and praising God. The children of Israel similarly went through some very barren times in their experience, and the prophet Isaiah often spoke into that situation, talking of what had gone wrong, the mistakes they had made, how they had not honoured God as they ought to have done, that led to their captivity, that led to some difficult times in their experience, but also speaking of the hope and the promise of something better, particularly to be fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to read a passage now that speaks of this new growth, this new life coming in a desert experience. And it's Isaiah chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. We often think, don't we, of the crocus being that first flower, along perhaps with the snowdrops, that we see that the first signs of a new spring. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance and with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And that certainly speaks, doesn't it, of the miracles of Jesus. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Perhaps we're still restricted on the singing bit, but hopefully not for too much longer. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Well, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for this important day in the life of the church, where we're watching on video or whether we're actually in person in the church this morning. The important thing is that things are moving forward. So we're grateful for what you have done. We look forward to so much more. We look forward one day to all being together again, to sing, to rejoice in you, to raise our hearts to you in a glad song. We thank you that there is seemingly a day of that opportunity ahead of us. But we look further ahead than that. We look forward to that day when we will be part of your eternal kingdom, where we will rejoice in glory in you forever. So Lord, just bless us this morning through this service. Teach us what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to spend some time in worship before we come to God's word this morning. Thank you.
Our first song might seem a highly peculiar choice when the sermon topic is about growth in the desert, but I promise you there is a connection. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my desert place. Oh, you are the peace in my desert place. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my desert place. Oh, you are the peace in my desert place. My bright star, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my bright star, I will trust the promise. You will guide me back safely home, safely home. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through, because you are the peace in my desert place. Oh, you are the peace in my desert place. I hope you now understand the choice of song, because whether in stormy seas or a desert place, if we look to you, Father God, you will guide us through, and we worship you now with thanks and praise for your sustaining care.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my
I'm sure that most of you have heard of the great Victorian Isambard Kingdom Brunel. Some name that, isn't it? Quite stirring, even the name. And he was an incredible guy. From stations to train lines, from ships to prefabricated hospitals, Brunel was a great engineer. Perhaps his most famous design was the Clifton Suspension Bridge spanning the Avon Gorge in my home city of Bristol. Brunel won a competition for the design. But you know, sadly, he never lived long enough to see his plans materialise. As we come again to the book of Isaiah and chapter 55 this morning, I see something of a parallel here between Brunel and the great prophet Isaiah himself. Because Isaiah recognised that there was a mighty chasm that needed to be spanned. Through the inspiration of God, he saw that this gap needed to be bridged. But in his lifetime, Isaiah himself never saw the fulfillment of that. But both Brunel and Isaiah hoped for a day when these things would be achieved. Here in Isaiah 55, we've already seen how an invitation has been extended to those without nothing, without anything in the world, to come and to find satisfaction in God. An invitation also for those who worked hard, who strived for satisfaction, but couldn't find it in all the material things that they owned in the world. Come to God, come to Him for water that can refresh your parched soul. Come to Him for milk that can nourish you. Come to Him for His wine, for a true joy that will last. Come and taste of the bread of life that truly satisfies. Last week we saw, for us who are Christians, the challenge of mission. If we know what it is to have come into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then surely it must be our heart's desire, our passion to share this hope that we have found with others. And then the second challenge last week was to those who perhaps have still not come into that relationship with God, to seek the Lord with all their heart in the day of opportunity before the door closes, so to speak. Seek the Lord while He may be found. If you come, if you seek the Lord, it must be on His terms. You must understand that living God's way is the best way, that His wisdom and direction are far above human wisdom and guidance. You must submit your life to Him. Now this morning, in particular, we turn our attention to verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55. But we can't really understand the full meaning of that without placing it in its context. So let's read again from verse 7. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them. And to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then here are the verses we're thinking about this morning. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now I want to focus on three things with you this morning. And the first is this, that God's word spans the gap between heaven and earth. Under God's guidance, Isaiah gives us a glimpse of how God would reach the nations, how the Lord would bridge the gap from heaven to earth. Going back to verse 7 for a moment, do you see the flow through here? In verse 7, God says, the wicked person should forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Man's ways and thoughts do not provide the answer to this life. What he needs to do is get in tune with God's ways and thoughts. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The fact is, God is saying, naturally, we're poles apart. I'm in one place and you're in another. And there is a vast gap between us and between your ways and my ways. Now, some world religions and particularly New Age thinking would have us believe that we and our world are somehow all part of God, that we need to find the God within ourselves, they say. But that's not what God says. My ways are higher than your ways. This is the furthest gap, the biggest distance imaginable. I want you to envisage a world without streetlights for a moment. And you're lying on your back and you're staring up into space, staring at the stars and the planets way up in the heavens. What a distance, what an impossible gulf to bridge. Now we might be able to send a mission to Mars and send back a few pictures and a few rock samples. But what is Mars actually compared to the distance of the vastness of the universe? So when God says that his thoughts are above our unholy thoughts and his righteous ways are far above our selfish ones, he means that there is an infinite distance between us. An impossible gulf for us to bridge, a chasm between man's wisdom and God's wisdom, but also a chasm between our sin and God's holiness, his moral purity, his perfection. The Bible teaches us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we can never do enough right to make up for all the wrongs we have committed against that holy God. We can never bridge the gap. But notice, will you, how that the words in verse 9 are now picked up in verse 10. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. Do you see where God is heading in these words? In verse 9, the distance between God and us is emphasized. But in verse 10, God is opening a door of hope. Even though the heavens are high above the earth, there is coming down from God something. There is coming down showers of blessing on the earth. The rain and the snow come down. God in the heavens is concerned for our planet and waters the earth. The earth he has made, and that refreshing rain causes things to grow. And we all benefit, don't we, from that common blessing as God pours out the rain, the snow, the sunshine too. But then in verse 11, Isaiah continues, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Now, the term the word is a very important concept in the Bible. Sometimes God speaks with an audible voice, his word. Sometimes his word comes to us through his prophets, like Isaiah, or indeed through a preacher in a pulpit on a Sunday. There is a sense in which men are called to be the mouthpiece of God. And then we refer to the Bible, don't we, as the written word of God. The written word of God. But over and above all that, incredibly, God's Son, Jesus Christ, is referred to as the living word. God's word come to us in human form. God does not sit high and aloof and uncaring, setting the world going, but then having nothing to do with it. He is not so far removed from his world. He has a heart of compassion and mercy, and he spans the enormous gulf between heaven and earth, between him in his holiness and us in our sinfulness. Hebrews 1:1 In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Word was coming into the world. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. And down in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the link between God in his holiness and man in his sinfulness. And it's him who invites people ultimately to come back into a relationship with God. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 to 30. We think of Isaiah's prophecy. Well, now listen to what Jesus says here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John chapter 3 and verse 16, those very famous verses there. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Sometimes we leave it there, but I do want to just read on into verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God should judge the world, and indeed one day there will be that final judgment of the world. But God has a heart to save the world, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we return to verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 55. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God comes to the world through his Son, the living Word. God doesn't hide the reality of sin and hell and people's lost condition without him. But God is reaching down, isn't he? Like Brunel's bridge across that Avon Gorge, but on a grand scale, God is erecting a way to cross to him. And God is saying that you can step out to meet him because he has stepped out to meet you. Can you imagine what it would have been like for those first people to cross Brunel's bridge? I nearly said in a car, but I think it was probably a horse and cart or on foot. You know, it's really quite scary even now to cross that bridge. You feel incredibly high up, but you have to step out in faith, don't you? And God is saying to us, trust me for my way of salvation. There is a way for you to cross over into a new relationship with me through my Son, but you must put your faith in him because he is the bridge. God spans the gap, the chasm between heaven and earth. Secondly, briefly, let's consider this. God's word offers growth. God's word offers growth. How do you feel about rain, folks? For the most part, we don't kind of welcome rain, do we? Particularly if we have something that we want to do outdoors and it puts a dampener on that, if it ruins our plans. But we all know, don't we, that we actually need the rain for things to grow. We're a little bit desperate for some rain. We've hardly had many April showers, have we, so far? How did the people feel about rain in Isaiah's day? Well, Israel rejoiced greatly when it rained, because without rain, there was a very real danger of famine in the land of Israel. We get plenty of rain in the UK as a rule, but in a hot country like that, rain meant everything. Without rain, there were no crops, there was no food. And similarly, it's like that with us and the Word of God. Without the Word of God falling like rain in our lives, then we're not going to grow. No Word of God means a famine for our souls. Verse 10 again here. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. You notice the four things that rain does there when it falls. It waters the earth. It brings forth something from the earth. It causes things to grow. It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Why does God, through Isaiah, give us this detail? Because I believe that God wants us to grasp that His word is like rain. His word is the source of growth. He wants you to feel, when you hear the word of God, how the desert feels when finally the rain falls. There is a sense, isn't there, in this past year that we have been starved of our normal supply of rain, of being with one another, attending services. Yes, I know, we can listen online, we can read the Word of God for ourselves. There's plenty of stuff out there on the internet. But there is something special, isn't there, about being together as God's family and growing together in the church. And my prayer is that we would value the Word of God together, that we would value each other, and that we as a church might experience new showers of blessing, that the effect of God's word in our lives will see things really take off and grow in the days ahead. Do you see the vital importance of the word of God? Don't get me wrong, I wish the worship group were stood with me here now, because that is so vital too, to come and to glorify God, to give Him the honour and the praise that is due His name. And there's two sides of the coin. We come to church to worship God, but we also come, don't we, to feed ourselves on the Word of God. It's like refreshing rain that comes into our lives. If we neglect that, we neglect our meeting together, if we also neglect reading His word for ourselves in our lives, is it any surprise that we become dry, that we become barren in our hearts? When tempted by Satan in the wilderness to turn a stone into bread because he hadn't eaten for a long time, Jesus replied, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God is sending His word like rain to revive our barren souls. God's word spans the gap between heaven and earth. God's word offers grace. And finally, and very briefly, God's word always succeeds in its purpose. God's word always succeeds in its purpose. If you buy a new product, it usually comes with a guarantee, a warranty, doesn't it? Probably for a limited period of time. But listen to verse 11. So it's my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is a lifetime guarantee. No more than that, it's an eternal guarantee that God will do everything that is mentioned in this chapter. It guarantees us that the bridge between heaven and earth will not collapse with us halfway across it. It guarantees that the seed of life will never die. It guarantees that covenant of love from God that we read of way back there in verse 3. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. It guarantees that the nations will come in response to mission. These verses remind me of another passage, Isaiah 46 and verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46 and verses 9 and 10. Just read those to you now. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Make no mistake, God is going to achieve his purpose for the earth. Believers will be raised to glory. Nations will be gathered from all over the earth. But sadly, the unbelieving will be sent from God's presence forever. Not one element of what God says in his word will fail to be accomplished. And I close with this verse from Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Be encouraged. God is doing a mighty thing amongst us. Perhaps God is about to do a new thing amongst us, to send up this new growth in the desert. Amen, and God bless you.
Lord Jesus, as we reflect on the rain of your word today, would you flood our souls now with your Holy Spirit, refreshing, reviving, and renewing us, that we might be revitalized for all that you want us to do this coming week.
Thank you.
It's worth mentioning that the Zoom coffee and chat will still be meeting, so do feel free to join us shortly if you would like a catch-up and a natter. But for now, we close our service this morning, ready to step forth into another week. Whatever it turns out to be like, we have the assurance that Christ is there too. And whether his streams of abundance flow, or whether we find ourselves in that desert place, we will sing with praise, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be his glorious name."